All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about fishing tough conditions because we just got done fishing a tournament where we ran the tournament, but the wind started howling, so that's what
tornado.
We're going to focus on. Yes, that's
like
what we're going to focus on
hurricanes.
Tonight is wind, but we're also going to move this
biblical
into the next
floods.
Level later too. So wind.
Yeah, wind. All of it.
Wind is our friend and our enemy.
Oh, it can be brutal.
It changes things up, that's for sure.
Well, rain, snow, wind, the whole deal. I mean, it all can just make your trip, especially if you're doing a tournament or something where you have to fish. No matter what's going on, you have to fish.
So I think when we were out there, the anglers this last week, they started off, the morning was fine. I mean, it was probably like that typical 6, 8, 9, 10 miles an hour maybe. No problem at all. But within a few hours, and everybody was in fishing shallow, fishing trees. They were bass fishing for walleye. A lot of teams were. There were teams trolling and stuff doing their deal, but there was a lot of them. Now, we're talking 3-4 hours into the tournament. And when you have a tournament, it's going for 9 hours the first day, seven
sure.
to four, right? So, I mean, that's 9 hours, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So, quick math.
So with no lunch break.
Yeah, right. You didn't even take your shoes off.
I know. So, I mean, so after, let's just say about 3 hours, all of a sudden the wind's at 15. Still manageable, getting a little tougher every once in a while you get offline.
Yeah.
By noon, it was sustained 20, then hit up to 25. Kind of died off towards the end of the tournament for day one, but it just kept howling more on day two.
Oh,
so
God.
Guys had to change tactics. I know that we were out there just fun fishing. While we were running the tournament, we would take an hour fish, then start verifying fish, doing things like that. And it was the time that we went and just generally fished, just having fun. Then we'd verify and we'd fish again. All of a sudden it's like, whoa, we have to change it up a little bit because all of a sudden the wind picked up. Wind
yep.
changed your spots.
Yep.
Next thing you know, hey, we'll push out a little bit because the back end's getting pushed in.
Yep.
Didn't think much of it. Now we're 3 hours into it. We're like, holy crap. Being at the front of the boat, I have to put it into the wind. You guys are getting still cast into the trees.
Which is kind of nice for us.
But
finally, right?
Because when it's not windy,
yeah.
guess who's got the hot spot?
Guess who's getting front.
But
we're getting
fresh,
front boated, yeah.
Fresh water.
But you see what I'm
yeah.
saying is all of a sudden, if you are those tournament anglers or just out fun fishing, and you got two guys in the boat, it's no problem. Once you have three casting out the back of the boat, if you're trying to fish that specific structure, that being trees, makes it
or holes in the weeds or whatever.
Whatever it is, it makes it a little bit tougher. So your casting lanes get a little bit different.
Well,
but how do we move forward from that?
Well, let's
what
talk
do you do?
Let's talk about the factors that drive it. Let's talk about, I mean, so there's
a
lot of
factors. I don't know why wind blows.
Well, no. Not why
it
wind
just
blows.
Does.
Do you want me to get into it?
Yeah,
I can.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. But I mean, the factors that make it a factor for fishing, right? So aluminum versus fiberglass boats.
It's night and day.
You know, and yep. and that's one of the factors. A 24 volt system versus a 36 volt system for your electric.
We're not even going to talk 12 volt.
No, I mean, so yeah, 12 volts just that's not even in the cards, right? But I mean, all those are factors you need to consider when you're setting up your equipment, when you're buying a boat, when you're going to look at purchasing your next boat.
If you live up in Wyoming, it's going to be windy.
And a breezy day, right, is 20 miles an hour. I mean, if it's 20 miles an hour, you're like, wow, God shined down on us today. It's not too windy.
We should get out on the
yeah,
water.
Yeah, we should go.
It's not bad.
Yeah, that tree's only, you know, half bent over. Let's do it, you know.
Why not?
So I think that's a big thing. So let's talk boats. And I think we, the three of us, can sit on a pretty good platform when we talk about this because we all have had aluminums. And now I have a fiberglass, and we've all fished out of both of our boats. We fished out of Brad's tracker this weekend, and it's a big difference. I noticed a huge difference.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just it was crazy. We were trolling, just to give everybody who's listening an idea, we were trolling, and as we troll, we do a photograph video release format, so we're not actually weighing fish. And so as we are out there kind of fun fishing, we're constantly going through the pictures that are texted to us for entries.
Yeah,
and,
to verify the fish.
And as we're doing that, Brad is got the electric remote for his Minn Kota, and he's running it, and he runs a 24-volt system. And we're all kind of looking down, doing stuff, and all of a sudden he looks up, and he runs and almost knocks me over and starts turning the wheel on the motor because we have the kicker down and going. And he's like, if you get it much further, that wind's going to grab us and spin us in a circle.
Yeah.
And it freaked me out, and Mitch looks at me and goes, welcome to fishing out of an aluminum.
It is. Yep. It's true.
There's been times I'm on my boat, right, sitting up front, jigging, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm got dealing with a fish usually or something, and I'm not paying attention, and you were exactly right when you said that. You get to the tipping point, and it's like you're on a tilt-a-whirl.
Yeah. Woo! It's going to catch you and spin you.
Yeah, and when you've got, you know, four rods out with boards, you got a mess.
Yep, a real mess. Yep.
No, and that's all part of it, so know your equipment. Each one of them have their advantages. But when you're talking wind, when you're talking 15, 16 miles an hour and under, the aluminum's fine. Yeah. That's no big deal. That's, I mean, it's like whatever. You got a 24-volt system. I just kick it up another half notch, and you're solid. Yep. Right? It's when you start hitting wind that begins with a 2 or higher.
Yeah. You know,
then you're noticing it. Right. Now, in the fiberglass boat, I've been out in your boat numerous times.
Yep, in big wind. On big lakes, too.
Yeah, and really, you probably get another... When you start hitting that 3 mark, you are having issues.
Then it starts pushing me around a little bit. And the difference is, too, is I have that 36-volt system. So when we were going, we were trying to go into the wind on that second day to control how fast we moved up the weed line. The tree
pre-putting our... That was when we were casting.
Right.
That was pre-putting on the kicker motor.
Before putting on the kicker motor, so we had the electric, and it zapped 20% out of your batteries in... What was it, 35, 40 minutes?
Yeah, it was under an hour, for sure.
Under an hour. And so, and I've noticed with the 36-volt, even though it's a heavier boat, I have fished in,
you got 33% more battery.
Well, but it was, but I mean, even in, when you and I were in Michigan and we were in that one of the first couple of days we pre-fished, and we were trying to sit on some structure and do that, and, you know, we were in 3.5-4 footers and, you know, we had no issues sitting there, and we trolled for hours and used it and all that. So
there's a difference.
Yeah, I think it's a good indicator. In all the Wyoming tournaments and stuff, I use the electric just a ton, and probably every day, and it works. It works really well. It keeps going. But also, how high your boat sits compared to how high my boat sits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Tracker, it's much higher sides than the Ranger. And, boy, it catches
it's a sail up front.
It just catches it big time and pushes. Yep.
So if you're in a windy area, predominantly windy, you need to think about when they're buying a boat. Now, here's the difference. You know, you're going to go out and buy a fiberglass boat that's going to be, if you're talking, let's say, new, you're going to start 50 plus.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And in aluminum, you're going to start low 20s.
Yep.
And up. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference in cost. There's nothing wrong with fishing aluminum. Me and Mitch both do. You fished it for years.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to be mindful. There's things you can do in the wind to control it. So like we already talked about it, it makes it a little bit harder to stay on point and cast or do anchor lock and stop because you're not going to be able to do it in 22-mile-an-hour winds with an aluminum very well. So how do you still fit? If you have a hot area and you want to sit there, it's no big deal because what I've done, we didn't pull it out this weekend, but I bought a 25 to 30 foot anchor. So that's 25 to 30 foot boat anchor. And what I will do is put that out, drop 100 feet of line to where we can sit there and it locks you down. And then we don't have to use any trolling motor or anything, but we can still fish that area. So it's what we have to do. Now we're not as mobile, right? If we want to fish a specific area that we know is holding fish, fine. You fish that for 20, 30 minutes, and if it's dried up, it's not there, whatever, you have to pull up the anchor. All you have to do is send Mitch
up to the front and have to pull up the anchor.
That's right. So there's ways to do it, right? There's ways to run it. You need to know your boat.
I'm not a fan of anchors. I do believe that they spook fish, especially walleye.
No.
I think I do. I mean, you may not, but I do. I think
just because I've been forced to use it so much more.
Well, I did too. As a kid, we used to use it all the time on my...
Well, but you didn't know what you were doing. I mean, at the time. So
no, well, we didn't. He took the electric motor off. He had a trolling motor, and he took it off because he would rather throw out the anchor. But I do believe that when you get into those calmer conditions, we used it for everything.
Well, calmer, though, I'm not doing
that. But even calmer or just clearer water, whatever, I think they can see... That going down, I think they see it on the bottom. I think they have the vision to be able to tell it's there. And I think you can spook fish out of a tough bite?
I don't know. I mean, so when we fish different, I mean, we fish a lot. I mean, and think about that area we fish over in Sterling. It's probably like 8 foot deep. Oh, yeah. We were fishing 30 plus winds with it. So we put that anchor out and locked us right down. And we were catching plenty of fish in 8 foot of water casting up. Now, the wind was blowing straight at us. So we actually ran two anchors. Yeah. I threw one off the back to lock us down. Because if you just put it on the bow, your back end, because it's blowing, it just swing, yeah. it just swings it straight back. And right. now both of us have to cast from the bow. So I put down two, and we were able to work that shoreline.
Kept parallel with the
shore. Yeah, and we fished all day like that and caught a ton of fish
in
clear water.
Right. And what we could have done this weekend, if we wanted to, we could have gone up into the wind.
Yes.
We could have slipped with the wind, and we could have used drift socks.
Could have.
And we could have easily have used the electric to kind of keep us in or out from wherever we wanted to fish on the weed line or tree line. And probably been pretty successful doing that and slowing us down and all that stuff. So there are other ways to do it in both fiberglass and aluminum. But I have an anchor I have for emergency purposes only. I mean, the way I see it, I have three forms of propulsion on the boat, right? You know, big motor, kicker motor, and electric. And if all three of those go out, I'm in a world of hurt anyway. So I can throw out that anchor and tie off, and it'll hold me in place until help comes. But you know, that's more or less what I've.
That's because you have a boat that allows you to do that.
Right.
There's a lot of guys out there fishing, probably listening to this podcast, that don't.
They
still want to go out and fish.
Sure.
And so there's options. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying just because if you're out there and the wind picks up, don't stop fishing.
No.
Think about what you have. So think about that before you go out. If you have a boat like mine that does fine 90% of the time, but when you start getting in that 2+, 20 mile an hour plus, you're going to have issues. You're not going to have issues if you have a kicker motor and you're going to troll. That's right. No big deal. You just put the kicker down. You just put the troll master on. You just start driving forward. Well, you go drive wherever you want. Then it's not a big deal.
Well, and that's what makes a kicker motor almost invaluable. A necessity. Because it just, you have to have that to save your batteries and to give you that horsepower into the wind. I mean, and you're right. I mean, you don't have to have all these things. You can be very successful with two anchors. I'm just saying, personally,
sure.
What I've seen, I try my hardest not to, but it doesn't mean. I mean, I grew up fishing with a partner of mine, and that's all he did. That's we threw out these anchors that he, you know, two coffee cans with concrete and a piece of rebar in between them, and that's what our anchor was. You know,
yeah, fancy.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it was true. You know, and you had to be careful.
Don't catch your shin on that.
Oh, dude, you had to be careful. You bang the side of the boat because it was a little glass boat. You know, it was like a low profile,
like a tri-hull.
Yep, like a little tri-hull, like a trophy. It was a trophy, and that little tri-hull design that they had, but it looked like a kind of a bass boat layout, and I mean, it was.
Well, I tell you what, let's talk about that. So everybody has their own techniques, you know, slip bobber, your jig, and your casting, your lindy rigging, trolling, all of it. But what are some good techniques to employ when it's windy that you can still fish efficiently?
So a lindy rig bite, let's say it's blowing 20. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
To where you're going to have issues in an aluminum boat, and you're going to have issues even in a fiberglass boat drifting. Flat lindy rigging because it's just gonna, like a bobber, it's just gonna get drifted. So the only way that
And you're gonna blow too fast.
You're gonna blow too fast because you want to be around that 0.5, right? So what
I'm gonna leave that one right there.
So what you're gonna want to do? That's when drift socks definitely come into a play.
Well, tell them what you did this weekend. What did you do when we were drifting bouncers to keep our speed down?
Because
we're going across that big flat.
We're going across the big flat. So what I would do is if you just park the boat and let it go just to see your drift speed. And I did that. So I knew what my drift speed was. It was about 1.4.
Yeah.
Just with the wind. Well, we want to be at that 0.9 because we were pulling 1.0. We were pulling slow death with Max Smiley blades. So you can run those a little bit slower. All I did is turn the trolling motor backwards.
Yep.
So I drove it. We drifted with the wind. I turned the trolling motor backwards, so it's pushing toward the back, but now I can control it. Left, right, I can steer it, no problem.
Yeah, it's all backwards, so you got to get used to.
Well, you've got that. That's, you know, now the back of the boat, the square end of the boat is actually pushing up against, so that actually even helped, you know, with the push of the against the water and the wind and everything else. So It worked out pretty well. It's tricky though.
It is because it's something you get used to. To me, I've done it so much now, I don't even think about
it. Right, because you get a little bit first, off, it'll spin your ass.
When you
around.
First start Ooh. Doing it, you're like, oh god, what happened? Yep. But now it's just easy. Now let's talk about this. When the wind is howling, because we've been out there in 35, 40 mile an hour winds, trying to pull Lindy's on that same flat to try to get down to 0.5. Now your trolling motor isn't going to do it on mine. Backwards. Nope. I mean, because once you start bumping up the speed so much on the trolling motor and you turn it just a little bit, it really wants to grab, and now all of a sudden your front end's going way left or way right. So now you're putting on the kicker motor or the big engine, and hopefully you have some splash guards on the back because you're going to be back trolling into it.
And you can back troll into it, but I got to tell you, if you're in 40s, you're white capping, and you probably have 4-footers, back trolling is dicey, especially if you've got a Skeeter or a Ranger or one of those boats where they actually kind of slope down in the back.
But I'm high enough.
You are high enough. I'm high enough. You've got that big square back.
It really slows us down. We've done it, I don't even know how many times.
You know, if you're in the 40s, I suggest getting off the water.
If you're in the tournament and you have to be there, you know, obviously you can try to find, I would try to find, you know, and that's maybe where we take this next is.
Try to find, get on the other side
of the lake. Go on the other side of the lake. Get on the upwind side of the lake where it's going to be a little bit calmer, where those waves don't have a chance to get rolling. Obviously, if you're on Green Bay, it's a little bit more difficult to try and get on the other side of the lake, right? You know, if it's blowing from Michigan and you're on the Wisconsin side, you got an issue. Mm-hmm. But I think my point is if most of these people with inland lakes, reservoirs, whatever, if you can get across. Like that will help immensely.
We did that. Me and Mitch did it when we were up in Mille Lacs. Because Mille Lacs is a big lake, but it's only 18, 20 miles or something. I don't know. Yep. So it was howling out of the north one day. We went up to Muddy. Was that the name of the Muddy Flats or Muddy Cove or Muddy? Whatever, we launched
Muddy
way up. We launched way up on the north side, and fish. We knew what kind of structure we wanted to fish. Found that on the north side, and now because we are only a quarter mile from shore, it was pretty calm. It was like fishing 15s.
Yeah, but we ended up getting a little farther out in the lake to explore, and I remember that little run. We were in some nasty waves, and still catching them.
Yeah.
Boy, Mille Lacs is awesome.
Yeah. It is a great lake.
You brought it up, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's that is definitely a way to do it. But that is the thing is there are ways to help combat the wind and also use it for your advantage. Because
there's more things that we're going to take this podcast in just a little bit. We're going to take this into the next level. So there's more stuff that we can talk about in the wind, right? When we talk about running drift socks, or we talk about back trolling and things like that, or water clarity, whatever we're going to talk about later on down the line and fishing tough conditions. Wind, we could talk for a long time about wind. And I think that when we jump into the next level here in a couple minutes, we continue that conversation.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I want to cover water clarity. Yep. You know, we had all kinds of murky chocolate milk we were dealing with. But then the other end of the lake was pretty clear.
Crystal clear.
You know, so where are those fish? Yep. Are they in the clear water or the dirty water?
Where are they going to get pushed to? Warm water or cold water gets pushed by that wind. What if it changes? Yep. What if day one and day two you have opposite wind?
Yeah. How about post-cold fronts?
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, everybody knows the bite shuts down after a cold front.
Or
right?
Like this weekend, water's getting pumped in. So water levels were rising 3 inches sometimes overnight.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that adds to wind, water clarity, temperature, a lot of factors that a lot of people who fish inland lakes that are stable don't have to face.
Yeah. But there's a lot of lakes out there you do. So we're going to dive into that.
Stuff.
Let's finish up a little bit here with anything else we want to cover in wind. And then we'll tie this up and we'll start the next level.
Yeah. Well, for me, when it's windy, and I think a lot of guys are like, it just sucks the life out of me, right? I get impatient. You know, break off your rig and have to retie in the wind. You know, that's always fun. How about just everything is harder in the wind? And the first thing I do is just accept it and try to stay patient because over the years I've gotten so pissed off, frustrated. It's like, this wind and stuff. But, you know, what's my option to load up and go home? Nah, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So I stay patient because it just is what it is and you got to roll with it.
So patience is your thing. I think for me, one of the things is be prepared. So when you're going out there, look at the forecast before you go out there. Look and see what that day is going to bring. So when you, before you get out on that water, say, hey, it looks like the first few hours like we did, we're going to be able to fish plan A. We're going to be able to fish up in the weeds or Lindy Rig or whatever, but we got to be ready for when that wind starts going, where are we going to go from there? And get there before the wind or when it's starting, and then fish it, and then and have your gear ready.
Yep. For me, it's preparation, having your gear ready to go. I have a definite process that I go through to lock everything down. So if it starts to get windy, starts to get waves, you know, the windshield strap goes on, and we snap the windshield down if it's open. I go up front, and I make sure all the rods are, you know, the straps are over it, the nets are strapped down. Just whatever can catch anything gets strapped down. If I had coats out, life jackets, whatever, everything gets put back into compartments because now the other part that gets dangerous is if you have waves and you're trying to walk around the boat, especially if you're not down in the boat but on one of the upper decks, you know, you can get knocked off in a heartbeat on a rogue wave or a boat goes by or something. So if you trip over a net or something that's not strapped down or whatever, you know, so for me, I go into a lockdown mode and I make sure that everything gets simplified as far as my equipment goes so I can focus on trying to battle that wind in the water.
Well, I think we're going to wrap up this portion of the podcast. Join us on the next level for more information on wind. Mitch brought it up. We're going to talk about water clarity, water
all tough
levels,
conditions.
Post-cold fronts, tough conditions. What's going to make you better? What you do with your, if you're going to need to adjust your rod holders even. There's things that you can do to make you more successful in the wind. So from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, I'd like to thank you for following us, sharing us with your friends, getting us out there, but join the next level.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.